This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon. Welcome to Dungeon Court, everybody.
Dun, dun.
Ooh.
I am your beloved Grid Justice Murphy.
Wow.
I gave myself a little
beloved
adjective. Why not?
Really nice.
Then, of course, the almost as beloved Emily Axford. And the, you know, also, you know, pretty beloved, you know, sort of Caldwell Tanner.
I am honored, sir. Thank you. Is this court appointed?
How low will it sink for me?
And then the bailiff, who, you know, occasionally people say some nice stuff about.
Wow. The beloved didn't even precede my name. Yeah. It came after.
How high your voice is getting.
You know, some people like him.
You trailed off, Justice. What did you say?
Anyway.
Justice.
I feel like it's been a minute since we've done this. Was the last one when we were in Seattle? Was that?
Seattle.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Last time ago. I'm seeing cobwebs have gathered around the Supreme Crit.
I forgot how to play Dungeons and Dragons.
And someone left something in, someone left Tupperware in the fridge, and it fucking stinks in here.
Wow.
Oh, God.
The court fridge. Bailiff, if you could take...
I think it's my job to clean that out. That's on me.
If you could take an hour and clean out the court fridge while we all sit here in silence, we'd appreciate it. Now, let's go ahead and throw to our bailiff here and get into it.
Hear ye, Crit is now in session. The beloved Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, and Tanner are presiding.
Hello.
Wow.
Our first case today comes from Kristen T. Kristen writes, "May it please the court and specifically Bailiff Jake." Thank you for that.
Wow.
Aww,
I present the case of the Voided Portent role. I play a divination wizard in a longtime Acquisitions Incorporated campaign. We had finally reached level 11 and I took Disintegrate with the plan to use low portent rolls to force enemies to fail their saving throws since the spell does nothing on a success.
Gorgeous.
Well, in the next boss battle, Dice Christ smiled down on me and gave me a nat 1 portent roll.
Yes.
I eagerly awaited my turn in the battle and finally got to use my only 6 level spell slot to cast Disintegrate and force the big bad to fail his saving throw using my nat 1 portent roll. However, the DM said the BBG rolled saving throws with advantage and that my portent roll would replace one of the two rolls.
Oh, that's a really interesting question.
Great.
I was thinking, my first thought was like, well, of course, this person has legendary resistances.
Right.
If you're of a level that you have, that you can cast Disintegrate, probably they have legendary resistances, but...
Interesting. That is not where this one went. I argued that the party wouldn't know the BBG rolled with advantage and would only know the final roll, unless my portent roll should replace the final roll. My DM disagreed and said the wording of portent was confusing and proceeded to roll with advantage and took the higher roll, which subsequently passed my spell save DC. I was so dejected because the DM completely nerfed my wizard's portent ability and took away what I thought would have been a really cool move in a very difficult battle. So I asked the court, was my DM right? Do portent rolls only replace one roll of the die, or do they replace the final roll? I anxiously await your judgment.
Oh, this is a really good question to which I do not know the answer. You know, being a good justice is sometimes admitting you don't know the answer.
No, we need to come down hard on someone. I don't know.
That's how you get beloved.
That's how you get beloved. All right. Okay. Starting at second level, when you choose this school, glimpses of the future begin to press in on your awareness.
I have an answer from Jeremy Crawford.
Do you?
Oh,
the lower courts? Portent die used in place of the dice to be rolled. Advantage, disadvantage, doesn't matter. This is what you
this
get.
What the
By the wording
is.
Of portent, it has to be declared before the dice are rolled. So it negates the advantage. It's just saying, like, before you're even rolling, this is what you get.
Yeah.
Huh.
You can replace any attack roll, saving throw, or ability check made by you or a creature that you can see. You must choose to do so before the roll, and you replace a roll in this way only once per turn. So you do it before the roll.
Yep.
So
portent does not interact with advantage, disadvantage, because it replaces an entire roll.
Yeah, if it's before the roll.
Damn. So we just have an answer to this
one. Firm fucking answer. Ooh, that answer's going to
that
the
How did you get that answer so fast?
A little something called, it's kind of my secret trick called Google.
It's for justices only.
It's very for justices. Cool. Yeah, we don't let you have Wi-Fi because we know that you would just scroll hot butts on Instagram.
Yeah, honestly. And I, what I've done is I scrolled a lot of hot butts that I've just like drawn in my notes app because I need to find a way That's why I didn't clean the Tupperware.
Since we solved that case so quickly, I think we're going to have to rule on whether that's okay, whether you're allowed to look at hot butts that you've drawn.
Yeah. On work
Those
hours,
are your butts.
I don't know. I mean, look, you can look at hot butts all the time, but the question is, can you use work hours that we're paying you for?
Oh, to look at hot butts.
I would argue that the simulacrum of the butts in a scrolling format replicates Instagram and thus becomes Instagram.
I'm going to say if he draws the hot butts on his like player's handbook while he's doing research, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, and what if looking at the hot butts inspires me to work harder when, you know, when I'm called upon scrubbing Tupperware and the like?
Yeah.
I think that we can, on a trial basis, allow you to enjoy upwards of 3 butts during work hours.
May I have access to data? I don't need Wi-Fi, but I just want data. Yeah. I'll pay for the butts.
What are you going to do with data, man? Just don't save the pictures.
Let's talk about this case a little bit, right? Because there is a technical right answer, but we've never followed that.
Sorry,
on
did
D&D
I do
court.
Something wrong by just finding the answer?
No. That's fine. If there is an answer, we would have been added had we not addressed that. So it's good that we addressed it.
It is good, though, to hear a DM's perspective, because a lot of times you're in the heat of battle, you got to make a choice that you don't know what the right answer
so
is.
So I actually would... I wouldn't say that the DM was wrong right off the bat, but I will say they handled it poorly. I think that as written, I think the port and rolls thing is a little bit confusing. I think the thing that is the kind of like nail in the coffin is the fact that it's supposed to be said before they roll. So their probably advantage or disadvantage wouldn't have anything to do with it. I think, though, where this DM really fucked up is making their player feel sad that they didn't get to use their ability, and in fact wasted their ability and their 6th level spell. Like, this person sounds dejected, like they had this big plan and then lost it.
Well, that does happen. That is part of
and that
D&D,
does happen. That does happen. But this was sort of a well-planned thing, and getting a 1 on a portent roll, you should have
Dice Christ.
A moment where Dice Christ has shown upon you, and you should get to jump up and down when you finally get to reveal that. I will say that had the DM made a meal of this, there's a world where this could have worked, where it could have been like, okay, this person has magical resistance. They get advantage on saves. So I'm going to go ahead and say that you give them a 1 on one of the rolls, and then we're going to roll in front of the table
flat
and see what happens. And that way, at least it feels exciting. It feels like a near miss instead of it just being like an argument right away. And then a deflating thing of them just rolling a save. There's a way that the DM could have salvaged this.
I definitely sympathize with the DM a little bit, because like, especially in home game, the DM is kind of like the host of a party. And if somebody casts Disintegrate on what is supposed to be a 2-hour battle, and then all of a sudden, like, the night is done 30 minutes into the battle, it's rough, because, like, you've got so much planned.
Disintegrate auto-kills people if it would have got them down to 0, but it doesn't auto-kill them flat
out. It just does, like, a bunch
out.
Of damage.
Okay, yeah.
If the DM was going to fudge shit, the DM should have just, and not that I condone this behavior, but if you're gonna fucking fudge it one way or the other, fudge it to give the bad guy more HP if you need them to have like a longer fight, if you don't have anything else planned.
Bailiff, strike that from the record. Do not let it be shown that Murph has ruled
in such a way. I don't do that on my show. I'm saying, though, if you're clearly this DM was sweating and taking away player abilities.
That's a good solution, I think. Yeah. Like, beef up the numbers a little bit just so that the battle can keep going, but they do get the big win.
When something that your player does is something the DM does not want to happen, rather than say no and then kind of try to like argue every single possible way to get your player to agree, you should kind of say, okay.
Yes. Yeah. And okay, ... as you think, as you're cornered.
Yeah. Or you could even just be like, okay, let me see how this works. And then you can pretend to look at a book, but you can just think.
I love that. Not a yes and, but an okay, let me see.
Yeah.
What it feels like is like sometimes things just can't work because it doesn't work for what the DM has prepared. But that's not a good enough answer to a player often. But it's still a fair answer. But you can kind of get the player there in your own way.
Everybody always complains about railroading, and we here on the show always say that railroading mostly isn't a thing when people complain about it. That's mostly just, the DM planned some stuff, and like usually you do a lot of the stuff. Player agency is important, But there are times when a DM, you know, sometimes players will do something that's completely unexpected, and then it becomes the best session ever, because then you just all improvise together, and it's this magic moment of you come up with something together that is very fun. But there are also times as a DM where something throws a wrench into your gears, and you know it's going to make the session way worse, or it's going to deflate everything, or it undoes something, or it takes off a whole side of it. And it is okay to, I don't want to say fully steer people back to the main thing, but like, you can find something in between, right? Like, if a hard left turn is going to ruin everything, you can make it a veer left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's also okay to just be like, hey, I wasn't expecting this. Y'all go to the garage and just crack a beer and have a 30-minute party while I figure out what to do. Just take a victory lap in the garage.
Yeah, and you hear it on our show. My thing is sometimes I'll say, okay, and sometimes I'll go, the high-pitched means I'm panicking.
That's
but
his tell.
Also, it gets edited out, but sometimes if we do something that's like takes him by surprise, I'll be like, sorry, do you not want me to do this? Should I not do this?
And I'll be like, no, you should do it. You should do whatever you want.
And we edit out sometimes where you just scream fuck, like really, really loud.
Where I go, God damn it! Why can't you guys just stay on the fucking rails?
Yeah. And we edit out when you knock the bookshelf over and it lands on the microphone.
And I grab
right.
Caldwell by his collar and I say, just make the frog attack! The frog attack's the guy!
Metagamer! Railroader!
It's very fun. We're able to actually repurpose my strangulation noises as Saul getting
attacked.
As
Saul's frog thing, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Anytime you hear
this.
Caldwell make a frog noise on the show, that's because I've attacked
okay,
him.
Okay, that's a joke, guys. That's totally a joke. Okay? We don't need to start this narrative.
Murph only assaults me with consent when we're wrestling after a session.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so, but this person, you are, the short answer is that you're totally correct that it should have just replaced the role and negated the advantage disadvantage.
And even if DMs should be allowed to like do table rules, so like you don't have to go exactly by the book, but if you're going to make your players' abilities worse, you better damn sure make it fun. You
know what I mean? Ooh, I like that.
Put that on a fucking DM screen.
I like that.
Put it on the screen. The beloved crit justice has spoken.
And now, since you have spoken, would you like to carry the sword? That those who pass the sentence swing the sword. That's
this DM needs to make a screen printing business and sell that T-shirt now.
Wow, whoa. But not make, but saying. Give the profits to the person whose important role they stole.
Yep,
yeah, yep, and yep, I do yep. think it needs to be a T-shirt made of metal. I think it needs to be engraved
chainmail shirt, and they need to do each of the little rings individually.
Okay,
and they can do the words. It can
learn
be in
how to
gold.
Blacksmith. Learn how to blacksmith. Apparently, that's a punishment. Yeah. Seems pretty cool. Seems pretty cool to me.
You
but
need to become a blacksmith.
Seems like a fun hobby.
Seems great. Yeah.
There are blacksmithing classes in LA, and they get filled. Quickly.
Why don't we just? We should give them like a worse thing than learning how to blacksmith. We should just they have to buy like a cake that says sorry on it for the person
that's
who's important role. Oh, they have to buy a roll, a portent roll for the
person.
Oh, nice. You need to get them a portent roll. Perfectly.
That's
and
good.
Say,
and
I
be
think,
like, and you're number one.
I've seen the future. I've seen the future, and I think you're going to think this is delicious. You have to say that to them and give them a little
let's,
wing.
Let's disintegrate these roles together.
Yeah.
Okay. So ordered. That's a delicious little sentence. Our next case comes from Jake M. Jake writes, I was DMing a campaign in which my players were investigating a large tower that was a city's bank. The bank had been evacuated.
The city bank?
The city bank. Yeah, the city bank.
The city bank, right?
City bank, wow.
Yeah. You can tell by the bicycles outside.
The bank had been evacuated due to unusual plant growth through the tower.
Ooh.
Upon
Ooh.
Entering the tower, my players found a large tree residing in the lobby fountain. After Whoa. The sorcerer hit a nat 20 perception check, I told him of the things in the room, but neglected to mention that the tree in the lobby was a tree ant, since tree ants are indistinguishable from normal trees while remaining still. The party was ambushed by the tree ant and took a good bit of damage from the encounter. But now my player never trusts a nat 20. Was I too strict on the perception check, or was I justified to keep the tree ant a secret based on its description?
I think you were a bad baby.
You were a little bit
present
of a bad
your
baby.
Wrists. Present your wrists. They're going to get a tiny little slap.
Yeah, I feel like if your players are coming in and being like, perception check, a lot of times what you're kind of doing is like, is someone waiting to ambush me?
Yeah.
It's like a lot of times what, and I hypothetically, if there was a situation where people have disadvantage on perceiving a creature, then you could potentially make them roll it again and then take the worst one. But I would imagine that it didn't have that feature.
Also, it's interesting because I know that a nat 20 doesn't mean automatic success.
Right, but I'm saying in this situation.
But in this situation, I would say a nat 20, you're looking at the tree. Is anything weird going on here? And it is a treant.
The tree winks at you with a nat 20.
I think you notice like a slightly unnatural movement.
The tree has lips and it licks them with a nat 20. I think you got to give them something.
Yeah, sure. I think that...
I think you see its rooty hands going for the hilt of a tree dagger.
You see it checking its tree phone.
Yeah, it has to be one or the other. Either it's indistinguishable from a tree or it has a tree phone and a tree watch and a tree dagger.
An owl pops out of the knot and says, "Be careful!"
My house is alive. My house is a guy. This tree is a guy.
A guy.
He's a dude.
His intentions are ill. Run.
Careful. I think also, especially because it sounds like the only reason the treant was there was to have an encounter. The treant just attacks them. So it'd be, you know, once again, I smell the DM sweat. When somebody like has a nat 20 and you wanted to have something be a secret, it's one thing if like your BBEG is like invisible and following them and like is going to reveal themselves later. That stuff is okay to kind of be like, all right, I'm going to use the letter of the law here. I'm going to make sure that the BBEG doesn't get caught. But if it's just a fucking treant that got a surprise round on them, and all that, this would have done is eliminate the surprise round.
I think in this situation, you're like, oh shit, you got a nat 20. This guy was going to ambush you, but now it's just a normal fight.
Yeah.
When else can you reward something like that?
Yeah.
They asked to do the perception check too, which I feel like is something that DMs are usually happy that their players are, you know,
right.
doing.
I really in the world. Got a laugh though at your self-awareness and being like, my player doesn't trust nat 20s anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, it makes sense.
That's rough. Which really is actually funny. That's a severe crime. You've taken the joy of a nat 20 away from a player.
Oh my god. This
goes back to the last case. If you're going to nerf your players, you better damn sure make sure it's fun.
I don't want to jump into punishments already, but I do think that the court can issue a coupon for a free nat 20 here.
That's true. Yeah, we do give out coupons. We mail them out pretty aggressively.
Yeah. I also think there's
ways.
Yeah,
if you submit a case, you're on our mailing list as soon as you submit a case.
You get a nat 20 coupon. We ruin games. I think that's actually why the port in person was shut down, because they tried to present a coupon instead of using an actual port and roll, which is, now that I think about it, fair. I printed so many. I think you also, with the nat 20, even if you were going by the letter of like what it says in the monster manual, you could have honored the nat 20 without saying that the treant is about to attack them. You could have been like, you notice that the tree is here, but it's not completely rooted down. You're kind of like, how the fuck is this tree here? Like, it seems to have been moved. You know what I mean? Like, you could say something like that.
Yeah.
And that.
Or you can introduce an owl.
Or maybe the tree is whispering slowly, tree, tree, tree.
But I like the owl being like, who is this tree that I'm in?
Yeah, there we go.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's a guy.
Is this dude? ?
That's perfect. I just think in general, an overly verbose owl is really going to save you from a lot of pickles as a DM. So like, really just keep that in your back pocket.
I think that's a great
Too
punishment
many pickles,
for this DM.
Get an owl. This,
I think this DM is going to need to introduce an owl NPC.
Yeah.
That pops out anytime your players hit an at 20 to make it magical again. Because let's be honest, you've kind of taken the magic away.
Wow.
But, and here's the thing. They've got Owlin stats. I think it's Owlin. There's like there's an owl playable race now because of Strixhaven. So like you can rip it right from that, and then all of a sudden that owl's in your game.
So it's gonna be kind of like the toasty guy in Mortal Kombat,
where
if you do something cool, the toasty guy comes out. Except when you get a crit, the owl comes out and gives you a little bit of information. There's any treants around.
I feel like we also need to punish them a little bit, right? Because this is kind of a fun thing.
This is great.
We made their game awesome.
True.
Yeah, it was like, no, we're making their game really awesome.
Their game is awesome, but now their life has to suck.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you could maybe just like every morning when you wake up, you have to chug a huge glass of water.
That's just
that seems healthy. Well, like, again, we're helping. That's
healthy. Water is so gross.
Water is gross. It's the life force of the universe.
You can't.
Water's awesome.
You can't bring this to the table, Emily. We have work to do. You can't derail us so thoroughly with this information. We have a lot of cases to get to. This is going to be our whole day.
Water is gross?
Water is gross?
Fine, we'll do whatever punishment you all want to do.
Make it eggnog.
Okay, eggnog is really good.
You have to drink eggnog.
Every time, week, every morning you when you wake up, you have to chug
let's put it in the game, I think.
An owl eggnog.
The owl's name,
Owl eggs. Yes.
Owl eggs. Ooh, yeah. Right.
Owl eggnog.
Also, eggnog is the name of the owl. So I think you pour yourself a warm glass of eggnog. It needs to be room temp at the start of each session.
Who left this eggnog out overnight?
And you say that as you kick off the session, and then you leave it. You don't touch the eggnog, but and you don't explain it to your players. And then as soon as they hit a nat 20, you down the eggnog and immediately launch aggressively into the owl voice and owl description.
This is turning without into prefacing a punishment.
It. I love a punishment chug jug at the table, by the way. That's very fun.
Just warm nog.
Of eggnog, specifically.
Yeah.
Not gotta alcoholic, be old nog, yeah. Just nog.
Yeah. Fucking so
actually, I have
ordered
a really good cashew nog.
You love the nut milks.
My nut milk.
Can we take a recess to ask Emily what's up with her funky water? You got
to
get a Brita. It tastes good from that.
Whenever... I know I have a big, like, thing that filters my water. It's just so boring.
Emily, squeeze some lime into it.
I definitely put some lemon into it. It's just like that's whenever you try to drink more water, which is the life I'm living, you're always like, man, oh man, I feel like I'm drowning myself slowly.
Okay, all right. Now, I guess I can understand that because I just don't drink water, and that's not a solution either.
Whenever, if you drink the amount of water they tell you to drink, it is an insane amount of water.
I drink more
like
than
you
the recommended.
I just carry around an Nalgene
all day.
I just have an Nalgene that I have next to my desk that I just drink like throughout the day, Jake.
Oh yeah!
Hydrating
Cheers, brother.
Ourselves. Very good. Cheers.
Always.
Where's your? There you go. Here. You got your water bottle. Emily's got her kombucha. Not water.
I had a water, and I had a grapefruit juice.
Em does it in this joyless way, where instead of just drinking water throughout the day, so she's good. Like, it says I need to drink 16 glasses of water.
What do we got to do to make water exciting to you, Emily? Should we get you like a special fountain?
No. I have a really good way to make it. I think it counts as water. This is completely off the rails. you guys can edit this out.
No, we're leaving this. We're going to edit this to the front of the episode. Yeah.
Well, this is going to be, I'm not trying to plug a company, so I'm not going to plug what the company is, but I found this water that it's like a seltzer with chamomile tea and hops, like beer hops, but it's not alcoholic. And that shit is great. But I don't know if that counts as water. Whenever I have to sit there and just pour myself a water and just drink 32 ounces of fucking water.
What about a crazy straw?
Ooh.
That's fun. or how about an IV drip?
That would be ideal.
What about a crazy IV drip?
Whoa!
Wow.
Just
a nice twisty, bright pink IV. Ooh. Okay, I could get into it. We've solved my water problems.
All right, so ordered.
And actually, we may stay in recess just for another moment because Jordan updated their Supreme Crit tracking document.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
Which has been tracking every single case tried by the Crit. We have tried 173 cases.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
173 people's lives are better.
And that's 89 players, 84 DMs.
Wow.
Oh, that's way closer than I would have guessed.
Mm. Yeah, it's pretty interesting stuff. We are a crit moving ever north. 55.4% of our cases are ruled for the players.
Wow.
Oh. What?
The opposite, right?
Yeah.
We're still slowly softening.
No, I need to be on the side of the DMs because my husband is a DM.
You can't fight progress, Emily.
Well, I'll give you that breakdown, actually. First, I want to recognize some crit trends that Jordan has told me about.
Okay.
animals have been involved in 46 cases.
Yeah, as they should be. They're always the funniest questions.
That's like a fourth of our,
Mm-hmm.
And of that, the animals have been birds 35% of the time.
Wow.
Yes, they are.
This is why we keep talking about birds.
A third of birds.
It's a bird-focused
crit room.
I'm very focused on birds.
Here's where the justices lie on the die. Nathan Yaffe remains the ultimate player's justice with 16 on the die.
That means.
Yeah, he's mostly ruling with the players.
Beloved.
The DM justice. You guys will be surprised to learn that it is Zach Oyama.
Checks out, though.
Surprisingly has a low tolerance for shenanigans.
He does.
Because he's such a great improviser, and because especially on like D20 and stuff, when you see like the way he like acts physically and everything, he's like kind of a big performer. But when you talk to him about like somebody pulling shenanigans or something, he just shakes his head and goes, "Come on, man. Come on." That makes sense to me.
Just above Zach is you, Emily. 10.69, and literally just above that, 10.70 is Murph. So you guys are you're in lockstep.
Yeah, it makes sense because I'm always thinking about my husband.
Most of the other justices are thinking about you, Emily, because overall rulings of the crit have most frequently agreed with Justice Axford's rulings. That's 94% of cases we agree with you.
She makes sense. Our leading light.
I think this is going to get me into trouble. I don't think that's necessarily true. How is it agreeing with me?
I guess we like are all in agreement the most when you are.
I think there
like,
are times
in line with whatever
when I might be being surly. And I have a hard time convincing people to join my cause.
Which actually does bring me to you. Personal rulings have more frequently disagreed with the overall rulings of the crit than any other justice is you. And also, of all the justices, is most often the first to recommend the plaintiff needs new or different friends.
That is the solve to all of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the solve, though, because, sometimes you gotta figure it out.
Yeah,
we did actually, though. My friend Steph was like, Boss Baby's actually a really good movie. And we had a whole back and forth between Murph and Steph of Steph defending Boss Baby related to the Boss Baby campaign.
Yeah, we're sending voice memos to each other.
Oh, yeah. I heard some clips from this. It was a very civil debate. It really made me feel like maybe logic and reason can save America. Hearing this debate.
If two people on the Boss Baby coin can get along, then can't we all?
That's beautiful.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content, all in one place and all on your terms, folks. They've got beautiful, beautiful templates and easy drag and drop tools. You can make a portfolio, you can make a blog, you can make a web series over there. You can do anything you want and you can do it all on Squarespace. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first order of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here. I'm recording this ad literally hours before going to the airport on a trip to visit some family in New York. And if you're wondering, no, I have not packed my bags yet. Packing stresses me the hell out because I have to do wardrobe math about how many shirts and pants and underwear to bring. And let me tell you, folks, I always get it wrong and I always pack too much. That being said, there is one thing that always goes into my suitcase without a second thought, and that is my Raycon Everyday Earbuds. Raycon offers amazing audio quality at half the price of other premium audio brands. And Raycon's optimized gel tips are designed to fit comfortably in your ears and actually stay there. Which is good because it means I can go on a jog and not worry about them falling out and getting sucked into a sewer grate. Although I guess that's probably how the Ninja Turtles get their earbuds, so if some mutant creature living in the sewer happens to get them, I guess that wouldn't be too bad. but thanks to Raycon, it's not something I ever even need to concern myself with. So, if you're also going on a trip soon and are looking to bring along the perfect pair of earbuds, go to buyraycon.com/pawpaw today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That is right, you're going to get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's buyraycon.com/pawpaw. All right, thanks for listening and have a great trip. Bye-bye.
And with that, let's return back to Crit and try our next case from Adam B.
Amazing.
This case is the case of the Dire Jackalope Food Truck Street Racer.
A lot of words. I'm in.
Food Truck Street Racer sounds like a punk album that I want to own.
Wow.
Yeah, Boxcar Racer, right?
Yeah. May it please the court of the high crit, I come to you with the case of the Dire Jackalope Food Truck Racer. I DM a game for my wife and a few of her gal pals who are mostly new players.
Cute. Nice. Good to hear.
Very sweet.
I like this.
Their crew were asked by a friend to help them in a food truck street race, a competition for the best parking spot for a festival the following morning.
Cool.
The wagon was drawn by a nervous but speedy dire jackalope named Cinnamon. The druid, level 3, decided to give the cart a boost by shifting into a dire jackalope herself. The player said that she should make the cart substantially faster by adding jackalope power, JP. I decided no, because it would have messed with the race pretty quickly if all the other racers were left in the dust. I resolved to giving the players advantage on soothing Cinnamon because now she had a friend. This was important because Cinnamon could be hurt and would risk the party losing control of the food truck. The player was clearly disappointed and confused on why I didn't increase their speed, but was agreeable and did not fight me on it for more than a minute. Did I make the right call, or did I ruin my new player's cool move? I await your judgment.
My first thought is I like what you landed on.
Yeah.
I guess I have a question. Was Cinnamon pulling the cart, or was Cinnamon driving the car?
I believe Cinnamon was pulling the cart. These are like horse-drawn or steed-drawn food carriages.
Okay, I gotcha.
I mean, I don't hate this because it does keep it interesting. However, it gives them a really significant advantage. You know, rolling advantage all the time is not to be scoffed at.
Right.
I also think that the idea that like just adding another animal would make it faster, it makes me think of if you've ever tried to row something with someone. It's like you have to really be synchronized, and that's not something that you can make up. So, you know, it would stand to reason for me that two animals would need time to sync up.
Yeah, you need a different rein formation too. You might need a yoke even.
Yeah.
But I think that
so
doesn't solve
where you landed.
Yeah, I think that kind of doesn't solve the core issue though, which is that the player felt like they had a cool idea and it wasn't, and it became a dice roll thing instead of I think what they wanted was like a cool story thing. You know what I mean? Like a cool description of them pulling the cart and things like that.
But
like,
I think they got that though, right? Isn't the implication that they were still as a dire jackalope running alongside?
I think they were just comforting Cinnamon, who was like the workhorse. Mm-hmm. So
you want to race along a dire jackalope and instead you end up soothing one.
Yeah, exactly. So
maybe the flaw was saying like, oh, soothing it. Maybe it's like, yeah, you know what? You guys aren't going to go double the thing, but you'll get advantage on all your checks.
I think this DM is great right off the bat. I will say that because they clearly care about their players' feelings. And
very fun world and hook and play.
Exactly. It seems like you came up with a very cool idea.
Contest for the best parking spot, that I could get into.
I will pitch a slight tweak, which is that you could have just had Cinnamon be replaced by this player. You could have been like, there's only room for one person to pull, but instead of having your NPC do it, which isn't as exciting, let them do it themselves. And then that makes the players more active in it. You know what I mean?
And it's also very funny just to like kick Cinnamon out. You have like a rejected rabbit who's just like chilling in the cart now.
They might have wanted to run alongside Cinnamon, right? They might have wanted to be part of a herd, you know?
But I think you could have just had Cinnamon be like, it sounds like Cinnamon was nervous. Cinnamon could be like, will you do this race for me? That would be great. I'll let Cinnamon comfort the werejackal or whatever the heck they were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or Cinnamon could like be in the back like chopping up stuff in preparation for the cook-off later.
I understand why you need to put NPCs in positions where they're going to do stuff to kind of like further the story. But if a player kind of offers to do it, always swap out your NPC. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I understand. Sometimes you make a cool NPC. You make a nervous jackalope named Cinnamon and you're very proud of them and it's tough. But like,
no, but they could still be there.
They can still be there. Exactly.
Yeah. What happened here was like the player described what they wanted to do and you said, actually, if you do that, then it'll be too good, so we can't have that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You should say, you can do that, but it won't have the effect that you are thinking it will have.
Yeah, so, yeah. That's a really, I think what Jake said is right, right? It's like you're like, okay, actually how this plays out is it won't double your speed, but you will be rolling with advantage. And then they still have the visual of where I'm running alongside this jackalope. I'm in the race.
Yeah.
Right, because they didn't get to do what they wanted, which was help pull the cart.
You're right.
Like, no, you can't do that, but you can just kind of be there for the
right. And I think if you just deprioritize your DMPC, though, you can use the exact same mechanics you were going to use anyway. Like, it's almost like if you think about we're doing Bahumi or something, if it's like there's a race or you guys are going through a mine cart and somebody needs to push the cart. And so I describe Balnor jumping out and doing it. And Hard One's like, no, I think I should do it. It's the equivalent of me being like, no, Balnor insists he does it. But Hard One can tell Balnor he's doing a good job and give him advantage. Right. That kind of, you know, cuts Hard One off in a way.
That's like Ryan Murphy, right?
It's Ryan Murphy.
No, Balnor would do it. And in doing so, he gains two levels.
But you know what I mean? Like,
he leaves Hard One in the dust.
If I have stats for like a game that we're going to do where you guys are going down this minecart and somebody's pushing it, I can still use it, but with Hard One pushing it.
Yeah.
You just change the flavors to let the players have a little bit more fun.
Hearing this is making me miss Wild Shape.
I was going to say, like, being able to just turn into something like that, because it's a little bit of a sacrifice for the player, too, because, like, unless you're concentrating on something, you're not going to be able to cast spells during the race, right?
Yeah.
They're kind of sacrificing a lot to take this position.
Yeah, 5e doesn't let you cast spells, at least. Maybe Moon Druid eventually can. I'm not sure.
Maybe. Yeah. Anyway, I got to say, I love getting a little freaky tweak of the week from Murph. I really like it when you provide your little...
Just a little tweak. That's all you needed was a little tweak.
Little
I think
freaky
you did
a tweak from a
you did
geeky.
A pretty good job, but I think I am going to rule against you, unfortunately.
Is there a punishment that can fit the crime, or do we have to go cruel and unusual like you, like always?
I think JP,
just a cup of water in the morning.
Jackal power needs to become a part of your campaign, and you need to drink a lot of water.
Yeah.
Just go online, do a water calculator, find out how much you're supposed to be drinking, and then spend the next
Double
week
it.
Completely waterlogged.
Yeah. You're going to be bored out of your mind, too. The worst part about fucking drinking water is just being bored while you're doing it.
Got to go online and find the biggest water bottle you can, and then you have to bring it everywhere you go. And like, people are just going to look at you so funny when you lug this enormous water bottle
just
onto a table.
Just get a fucking double-sized Nalgene that says this again on the side.
You got to get a bumper sticker to put on your Nalgene that says water lover or something like that.
Water
H2O,
lover.
Yeah, I'm drinking my water.
H2O, yeah, that's good.
This piece of shit drinks 8 glasses a day.
8 glasses would be doable. They tell you to do so much more.
I thought it was 8 glasses. Did they update it?
I don't know. Maybe I found a shit water calculator. But this thing has me is sucking at the tap's teat.
I'm drowning, fam.
Drink water throughout the day.
Emily, you got to stop listening to Big Water. It's 8 glasses. That's all you need.
Okay, so ordered, I think we sentenced this person to
drink
like
water,
a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, I guess we
give them
the Nalgene's gonna be so annoying.
Want. Give them the punishment that you want
to drink water.
Okay, you do want that. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you have to stay hydrated all the
also,
time.
Also, your car is replaced with a jackalope sled.
There you go.
Yeah.
But that's so awesome.
Yeah, it's really awesome. It's gonna be extremely slow. But it is very awesome.
Okay. And it's going to have huge cup holders for all the water that you're
and then
have
you
got to
feed all your animals.
And like
stuff.
Jackalope sled on, like a sled is going to take so much damage from just going down the road and like
it's also
on the highway
damage the road,
and stuff.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. You thought gas was expensive. Wait till you see jackalope feed.
You're going to get pulled over quick.
You're going to be paying at the pump.
Yeah. Because those jackalopes, you'll still go to a gas station because jackalopes just want snacks all the time.
Yeah. Just get them. Ooh, Slim Jim snowballs. Cheese combo.
Snackalopes, more like.
Snackalopes. But we got a road trip coming up. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be popping off in some Slim Jims.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And we are bringing our rabbits.
I'm going to get myself so sick before the show.
Or the Dallas show. Hell yeah. Okay. We've got our next case from Tara B. Tara writes, to the honorable justices and the lily-livered bailiff, I don't know what that means, but maybe I drink too much water, I present the case of the Nat 1 weapon break. My D&D group is playing Baldur's Gate, Descent into Avernus, and are currently level 6 and in hell. Our DM has ruled that after a Nat 1 on an attack roll, your weapon will start to crack, and with a second Nat 1, unless your weapon is magical, your weapon will break and be unusable.
It's hardcore.
Only 2 out of 4 melee characters have magic weapons so far. I didn't put up too much of a fight, but this campaign is very fight heavy, with us often having 4 to 8 encounters a day. I argued that they should at least average to 1 weapon break per day, as we're continuously rolling attacks and we're in hell where there's not a ton of sword chops around. So far, only our barbarian has had to surrender his great axe and resort to a measly mace, but I fear our paladin will soon join him and have to take up her spare javelin. Ultimately, it's up to the DM, and I don't think it will have that great of an effect on us, other than us looting absolutely every corpse we can find for weapons. But I ask the court, should 2 nat 1s result in a weapon breaking? I await your wise judgment. Have you ever heard of this before?
I think it's a fun way to have to give
very Breath of the Wild
stakes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely does remind me of Breath of the Wild. I think that it would not be the worst if your DM was also throwing weapons along the way.
Sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you could repair them. I think one of the weird... It's weird that it's not mentioned that like you could roll a nat 1 time and your weapon kind of gets fucked up and you can't fix it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It just seems like, also, why 2 rolls? Like, make it a death save thing. Like, if you like get like 3 nat 1s, your weapon shatters or something like that. It just seems weird that it's 2. That just like bumps me for some reason. But you're definitely right, Murph. Like, this should be a hindrance during one battle, and like when you take a long rest, you can like reforge your sword or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I guess if you're making this like hardcore or something, and you want to say that like on a nat 1 something really bad happens, I think that's. Mm-hmm. Fine, and the idea of somebody rolling 2 nat 1s on attack rolls in the same battle and having your sword shatter or something like that is fine, but I think where my beef lies is that you can't repair it between fights.
Yeah. We got beef, we got tweaks. Murph is breaking out the whole arsenal this episode. I'm here for it.
Beef and tweaks. It's the new cheese and beef Slim Jim. It's just the a combo. Beef and a tweak.
My favorite British show, Beefy Tweakers.
It, for some reason, it made me visualize a beef and Twix. Like, Slim,
whoa.
Like just one of the Twix is replaced by a log of beef.
New Twix.
New God. Beef and Twix. Left Twix is now beef Twix.
Which one? We're not saying.
They're both covered in chocolate.
One's full of caramel and nougat. One is full of beef.
Surprise beef.
Chocolate covered beef log.
Imagine biting into a Twix and it just being a sausage.
So oh my God.
If I knew it was coming, I could absolutely get on board. But if I didn't, that's an awful experience.
Yeah. I think it'd be cool. It's like the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory golden ticket thing, but you have to eat it to find out if you got the beef.
If you get the beef Twix.
Yeah.
You get actually to win. The Twix Factory.
To see where they make the beef.
Congratulations, my boy. You found beefy Twix.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory really made people think that like factories were cooler than they were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, I don't think many factories have a magical tunnel that you can go through where the owner is going to sing you a song. Mm-hmm. There's no kaleidoscope tunnels in most factories. Maybe Frito-Lay has one. I don't know. It's tough because I feel like this DM like is really wants to play like a hardcore, just scraping your knuckles for every victory you can get sort of game. But gosh, that it seems so hard to balance that and still have fun. And it seems like they're really not having fun.
Yeah, it seems
that's what I got from this note, is that it sounds like you and the other players aren't having fun. And I just think that most DMs would like to work with you to come up with something that was more fun to play.
Yeah.
And so like if it's a matter of they want it to be really hard, like maybe you can kind of say to them, like, it's taking a little bit of the fun out for me. Is there like something we can come up with, like we can repair them, or like we have an idea of like, or we can learn how to repair them, or we have an idea of, I don't know, even just like, I kind of wish that this DM would just put more cool weapons in your way.
Yeah, right. It's Baldur's Gate. It's Descent to Avernus. I feel like, Murph, isn't that where you pulled some of the like cool war machines from?
Yeah.
So there's definitely like tinkerers and like weirdos that could sell you a sword down here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would think so. But also like, I don't know.
It'd also be sick in the middle of battle to just like be fighting someone with a really like a better sword than you. And if they came up with mechanics for you to try to steal that sword from them, like that seems like the fun outcome of this kind of restrictive rolling.
Part of me feels like our suggestions here are what the DM is hoping for.
I think so. That's what I wonder.
Yeah, they want the player to find an in-game solution in game. Like, I would challenge this player to have fun at the table and trying to solve this thing that the DM has thrown at them.
Yeah.
I get it though, because it's like when you add realism to campaigns or when you add like consequences like this, it should kind of be done in the name of realism. And I don't think that it's very realistic. I think it's actually like cartoonishly against the players to be like, every 20 times you swing your sword, one time you do something that's going to break it or badly damage it. Mm-hmm. That's pretty crazy and pretty unrealistic. Yeah, I don't know. In a world of like dragons and stuff, it's kind of weird to be like, swords are worse here.
I guess I would need to know, like, is this DM trying to say this is for this whole campaign, or is this DM like just in Avernus?
They said magical weapons don't get damaged like this, so there is hope for the future.
That's kind of the other thing I take umbrage with, is it seems like two of the players already have magical weapons.
Oh, yeah.
So like
that is fucked up.
Yeah, that is unfair. Yeah.
I feel like if you're all leveling at the same rate, like you all get your magic weapons at the same time and this isn't a big deal. Like,
well,
maybe this seems like it should be like one.
It's okay to stagger them a little bit.
That's true.
But we don't know how many games sessions they've played or any of that kind of stuff.
That doesn't pass the smell test to me. That seems a little rough.
It's a little dicey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jake, I really like that you're trying to give the DM a little credit and say that the players need to like solve this puzzle on their own. But yeah, I don't know. There's a bit of a stink here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bit of a poo-poo odor in the air to me.
Yeah, there's some duty here for sure.
You should just be able to repair it. It should be like, yeah, your blade is dulled by this fight because like you swung and you kept hitting shields or something like that. Like,
You get like a -2 or something.
It feels almost like this. The DM is trying to put stakes on every single roll. Like, you roll a one and something can happen to but I don't think this actually makes the game much more interesting. I would rather be like focused on, am I killing monsters? Are we doing stuff? Not like, is my gear breaking?
The idea,
I think
though,
it's only fun for me if you're also giving the monsters they fight cool weapons, and it does become Breath of the Wild. Like,
that's true.
Always trading out weapons. Like, and you can like find a bunch of random different weapons. Like,
and that's always fun in a battle when you're like, what is the enemy holding? They're like, oh, they have a cool ass sword. It's like, great. That's my goal for the day.
Yeah. I don't mind the 2 nat 1s in a single fight breaking your weapon, though.
Like, yeah, I don't think I do either.
Something about it just being like, yeah, if you get a nat 1, your sword's just fucked up forever until you get in your next fight and then it shatters.
Okay.
That bumps me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it seems like we're going to have to give this DM a little bit of a talking to, huh?
Yeah. We're going to say that the computer that they plan their sessions on, every time a nat 1 is rolled, they have to smash the keys with their fist. And then every time, and then when the second nat 1 comes, they have to throw out their whole laptop.
Whoa.
Whoa.
We're adding a durability rating to your laptop.
To your computer.
Wild.
And here's the thing. Once your laptop breaks, you have to go out into the world and find a strong enemy with a better laptop and defeat it.
You have to steal one from the Apple store.
The idea of being at a coffee shop and being like, That laptop is a plus two laptop. Holy My shit. Laptop is only a plus one laptop.
Just picturing a fucking Lionel from Breath of the Wild just typing in a coffee shop. One of those big fucking Centaur dudes from Breath of the Wild.
I need that laptop to build the fucking Savage Barbarian armor.
Holy shit, is that an external hard drive? I cast Hunter's Mark.
You would challenge me for my ASOS laptop?
You guys want to go ahead and do one more?
Yeah.
Yes, and I'll actually hit you with a Dice Christ confessional.
Oh my God.
So
let us don our priest robes and the stained glass. The sun shine through the stained glass of the courtroom.
No, they do smell a little bit like the fish still, bailiff.
Yes. James L. writes, "This is a Dice Christ confession. Forgive me, High Priests Murphy, Axford, Tanner, and also the other guy." What the fuck? I didn't. I didn't know I had low status here also. "For I have sinned. I was playing my high elf paladin named, Binky Fiasco. We were in an endless forest and our party were all separated when I came across a banshee. Being a cocky bitch, I tried to fight it solo, but was hit with a once-a-day spell, which made me unconscious. While rolling my death saves, I was using a particular D20. When I got to one pass and two fails, in a moment of weakness and panic, I swapped my D20 before immediately rolling another fail, killing Binky. While sitting there afterwards, I rolled again with the D20 I had been using, which got two successes, meaning I would have lived. My life hasn't been the same since, and I miss Binky every day. Please forgive me."
Wait, so the thing that they feel bad about is that they were using one D20 and then switched to another?
They're saying they didn't trust Dice Christ.
They moved to
a
different D20.
They tried to switch a different die.
That is kind of interesting. That is kind of interesting because sometimes when they roll, the dice rolls low, you're like, oh shit, that means that you're going to roll high soon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the Dice Christ, this is harsh, but I think that maybe Dice Christ was ready for you to play a new character. I think Dice Christ set you on this rocky, viney, barbed path because they knew that you could pull through and make a new kick-ass character.
Binky found their way to Dice Christ.
It was time for Binky to come home.
It was time for Binky to go home.
Maybe Dice Christ wanted Binky for themselves. Dice Christ is currently playing Binky.
Yeah, Binky's like an all-star character.
That's a great way to think about it.
Yeah. So like Binky's out there running adventures and Dice Christ is the player.
Wow. Yeah. And that's where
that's
Binky.
The highest honor.
Yeah. There's an old saying for this, which is that I saw two dice rolls in the sand. The one was going a little further than the other one. You looked up to Dice Christ and you said, why is there only one roll at this one part? Did you leave me? And Dice Christ was like, no, that was me rolling for you.
There's also
so those extra rolls was Dice Christ rolling for
there's
you.
There's also the that's phrase, right. Binky take the wheel.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yes, those were Binky's.
When you're not controlling life, you can just be like, Binky, take the wheel.
Yeah, those were Binky's roles for initiative in their new campaign in D&D Heaven.
Wow.
When Dice Christ closes a door, they take a Binky. And when they take a Binky, once that Binky's gone, they're going to give you something new. Because the door that they closed before, it's open again. And then Dice Christ dove out the window with your Binky. But it's okay because there's a knock at the door. And what's that? Oh, it's your fresh new character that you came up with. And that's why there was one set of footprints.
All right. Let's go ahead and wrap this episode
everyone
up.
Everyone knows that was read from scripture.
Yeah, it's
actually word for word.
That was in the book.
And actually, in the Old Testament, Dice Christ says, "Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu." I'll finish it on the short rest. Actually, so
yeah, you got a couple more.
Head on over there.
Sweet. I was going to say so ordered because the church and state
so
really
ordained.
Is just so combined at this point. But so ordained.
So ordained.
So ordained.
Sweet. Thank you guys all so much for listening. Does anybody have anything they'd like to plug?
Sure. Ooh. Do, man. Our shows in Dallas and Austin are less than a month away.
Yes, they're coming up. And also, We can confirm that the shows will be different. So if you are thinking,
oh, yeah,
if you're going to one and you're like, I want to go to both, but I'm scared they're going to do the same thing twice. Mm-hmm. We are not.
We are not.
We're going to do different stuff.
Yep. Murph's going to DM shows. One, and then we're just going to play Bohemia episode 75 live on stage for the other one.
Yeah. But I'm going to dance to it.
Me too. Cartwheels. I'm going to do so many cartwheels.
We're
going to
dance for an hour straight.
We are so bad at plugging things. The shows are going to be good. Come see the shows.
The shows are going to be good.
Yeah, what Cobble just shows. Said is not what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, right.
Go to
I'll
both
dance,
shows.
But we'll also play a different show.
Yes.
I would love to plug some stuff from our P.O. box, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro.
Is that all right? Can I do that?
No, dude.
Right. Fine by me, man.
Samantha R. sent us a care package, including a Butterfinger BB pin, a ton of cool patches. Oh, and even a year Costco membership, which is very sweet.
Thank you.
So generous. I'm buying diapers all over the place with that. Thank you very much, Samantha. Shout out as well to at Paula's Pixels and at Kelly A. Roman, who designed the patches in that gift pack. Let's see. Oh, someone sent us Hero Forge minis of Beverly Hardwon Moonshine and I believe a gins for Murph, which is a very fun party composition. I would love to run that someday. Emily sent us a bamboo silk fan and a black crystal tiara, a gift from one Emily to another.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
And you do fan yourself with that every session now.
Absolutely.
Let's see. Duncan G. sent us a copy of Tommy Siegel's Extremely Accurate Birds 2022 calendar. Shout out
you.
To Tommy Siegel. It'll be perfect for scheduling our burlesque shows that are all coming up.
Yeah, that's true.
Well.
Which it's not hard to schedule because they're every day of the week.
Yeah, just get yourself a page a day calendar and that's how you'll know when the burlesque is. Oh, someone sent Emily a Hawaiian shirt covered in mushrooms.
Oh, I wore it when we recorded.
Amazing. Yeah. It's honestly, I've never seen a garment define someone in such a perfect way. Like it was just like a perfect fit.
It was oversized and then I just tied it at the waist and then it was suddenly fashionable and fungal.
It looked like you were like on the run from someone and you like found that on like a clothing line and just put it on real quick and it was just like, wow, what a perfect disguise.
Yeah.
Shout out to @crescent_creepers who designed that shirt. And then James P. sent us a fun drawing and a pitch to come to Kansas City. Mm. That could be fun.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Nice.
Oh, Kansas City.
Yeah. Thanks, James.
I love Casey.
Yeah, me too.
Anne, a.k.a. at Freckles and Stories on Insta, sent some cute bound scroll notes, as well as a picture of Lula Jaxfoot's shield. Lula Jaxfoot being
so
your
cool.
character from Obelisk
from Black
and Outlaws.
Yeah.
That's Miss the P.O. Lula. Box, 1920 Hillhurst Avenue, number 222, Los Feliz, California, 90027. And I'll plug it once again. Come to our live shows, nadpod.com/live.
Jake, you got anything else?
The other live shows in the UK. Come to those, nadpod.com/live. Can't wait.
Check it out, everybody. Sweet. Thank you all so much for listening. You can follow us on social media that we may or may not use, @chmurphisme, @caldyscaldwell, @astrodemily, and @jakehurtsisjake. And you can tweet about the show using #nadpod. That's NEDDPOD.
We are the youth of the nation.
Drink water, everyone.
Dungeon.
It's the end of the show, everybody, and that means I need to shout out our benevolent council of elders, starting with Brad D, Jeffrey S, Hugh C, Later McSkater, Matt M, Jordan DJ, Cutter W, Jill and Tucker, who want to help Jake move out, Dungeon Mama, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Scott D, Danny P, Michael McD, Vincent W, Mr. Cole, Victor T, a.k.a. Balner's Boy Forever, Dominic P, Andrew B, Justin I, Ragnar Fairdwind, TJM, I believe formerly known as TJM the Gnome Barbarian, Kaylee E, Elena M, Trele the Crayfay, Jared E, Christopher B, Daniel R, Cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, Philbert the Therapy Duck, Richard X Machina, Michael L, Taylor S, Sir Carl, Jory S, Callum L, Jack L, Sam L, lot of L's, Nicholas C, Thaddeus, Thunderous Turtle, Samuel B, Mike H, Martin P, Matthew E., Colton B., the front half of a horse costume, Adam G., Nabadger, Panama James, Andrew the Bard, Captain Sigil, Nathan C., the assistant king to the assistant king of Irondeep, Hail to the Hammer, Diana, CC Lulu, Barnesinator, Michelle O., Hercule Poirot, the rabbit folk detective, Timmy R., Crocaholic, Lucas B., Ryko, It's Kevin, Calder's Cold Cum, New York, Cass Skateboard Cass, Steven C., Michael M., Mike K., Lady Taco, Joy T., Nara, Jake L., Nick W., Brave the Badger, Esme M., Mutton the Mad Druid, a has-been trying to undo his friend who has been stuck as a polymorphed sheep for 3 weeks, Foster the Original Boneless Duck, Auron the Asshole Ranger, Big Bad Beardo the Mad, Eric McD., Giant Monsters on the Horizon, Burly T., Percival Frederickstein von Musel, Klausowski, DeRolo III, Christian A., J. Dragonborn, Joe Rode the Inapropro, Liam D., The Sandrayan, Ben A., Feldonis, John III, Dave H., Vivian, Koala Bear, Catherine S., David K., Christian S., Dustin S., a lot of S's, Connor F., Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's assistant Izzy F., The Time Walker, Blair the Bug Blair Barblarian, Cat C., Kelsey J., Porkchop, Ariel M., Valet C. Raptor, Minette the Magnificent Magikarp, Pat L., Achutha A., Lauren H., Amber W., Josh D., Ryan S., The Bone Duster, The Charming Fluff, Robit CRSP, Master Brentley, Telekitty Creations, the official Nadpod, and my personal favorite illustrator, Ploops, the awakened Crick Horse Warlock, has a rad packed with Pendergreens, Carly Ann, Addie K., Lori P., August from Dallas, Hard One Wants Your Number, Spam Gaming, the Not So Skilled Gamer, Grant L., Connor S., Christopher J., Pebblepot, Forget the Free Jake Plug, see Nadpod Live, Dublin, May 11th, London, May 12th, Logan S., Leviathan, BioQuart 7, Amber Dextrous, Sullivan H., Trub Hop Dropper, Sydney T., Jack H., King of the Mole City Under Iron Deep, Matt Y. says shout out to Abagund, Athena Lamora, Ellie, Garland, and Noble, love your big bad DM, Garble the Moist, Juicy Kiwi, Champ Wild, Valen, Sprite Pepsi, Carlin C., Louie is your dad, always the dad, never the DM, Noah the Bagel of All Things, Estelle, Loyal the Ogier, Conflicted DM, Justin LB, Torley Skirmisher, Dandy, Ian D., Bunny is taking a break from Bunny Updates to stand up for her favorite little buddy, hashtag Claudius did nothing wrong, Marcos P., Pup K-Lash, Learns the Balanced Druid, Dakota James P., Pagos, self-proclaimed Fae Prince, Katrin, Tracy P., the Crick Elf Librarian, Friar Fritz, Andy E., Holly Hyena, Anthony A., Leah C., Paige H., Mabe, a bear folk who was kicked out of the academy for being too tall to be a little buddy and too furry to be a kid wizard, Kristen with a K., Dufinius, Cal, just Cal, Commodore Galaxy, Edison N., Russell H., a monk named Dilgo, yes, the whole thing, yes, every time, Neos, the novice monster hunter, my new best friend Simon, who's trapped in Dreamland, his loving hugs are what really restore my HP and spell slots, Lorelei Frost, Morgan M., Sticker, Sous Chef to the Centaur Chef, Saute, the panhandler of the crooked panhandle, Stephen E., Mr. Adams, Meg, the mail carrier of Bohemia, James F., Jimmy A., hi man, yeah, that's me, Captain Cappy, M4L, the Dragon Ambassador, Wayfarer, Andrew B., Dalton B., Cope Fresh, Barbo, Good Barrel, Barbarian, and Brewer Emeritus of Waterdeep, Tari Rhymes with Jabari, Welshlander, Garrett G., One Big Curd, Eric M., Mr. D., Tommy K. Nola, John P., Mr. Sillyhead, Otho the Chainbreaker, Monster Captain Renee S., Cameron C., Greg Land, Hope's Dagger, the only dagger of hope, Daniel VH, Olivia the Enchanting Bard, and finally Blue Slade. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you to our benevolent Council of Elders, all of our Patreon subscribers, and all of our listeners. You can head on over to our Patreon to listen to our after show, The Short Rest, over on patreon.com/nadpod. We'll catch you all next time.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.